wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the big show. We certainly appreciate you guys being here. As always, the Chris Voss Show brings you the latest authors, the greatest minds, the Pulitzer Prize winners, the CEOs, the billionaires, all the great people on the show that we've had on over the years, over 2,000 episodes, and 16 years that we've been doing this stuff? So make sure you tune in. Make sure you're further show your family, friends, and relatives. Go to goodreads.com, Fortress Chris Voss, LinkedIn.com, Fortress Chris Voss, Chris Voss One on the TikTokity, and all those crazy places on the interwebs. Today, we have an amazing author on the show. We're going to be talking about her latest book that just came out, April 9th, 2024. It's called An Enchanting Case of Spirits. Melissa Holtz will be joining us on the show today. She is an amazing multi-book author and is a former publicist and marketing expert in the romance genre. She's now in an advisory role to several best-selling authors, and she consults in industry marketing trends. And actually, this is her debut novel, so I have that. I stand corrected on that. Welcome to the show, Melissa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am excellent this morning. I'm just still trying to get our stuff together here in the early mornings. Give us the .coms. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
MelissaHoltz.com, and I can be found under author Melissa Holtz on Facebook and TikTok. That's primarily where you'll find me most.
There you go. Give us a 30,000 overview. What's inside your debut book, An Enchanting Case of Spirits?
Yeah, so An Enchanting Case of Spirits follows a woman who is a grieving widow, and she's turning 40. And through the process of that, you know, just aging, things that happen to a lot of women through that process, she doesn't want to celebrate. And her best friends convince her to not only go to dinner, but also see a psychic medium. And through that encounter, she wakes up communicating and seeing ghosts. And they're pesky, and she just wants them gone. And unfortunately for her, they are actually there because they hold secrets that she needs to uncover a host of mysteries that are plaguing her town of Knox Harbor. And until she works with them to solve these crimes, she's stuck with them. That's the gist.
So it's kind of like, what was that? The Mystery Machine thing, Scooby-Doo, only instead they use the ghost to help them solve the mysteries.
Yeah. And then from there, ship them, then they're gone.
Yeah, that's not really an equation, Chris. I'm sure people in the audience are like, that's not the same show, Chris. But basically, yeah. So she becomes, does she become like clairvoyant, would you call it? Or
yeah, clairvoyant. Yeah. She's a medium herself. That's what she learns through the process of the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, clairvoyant, medium, and then additional powers or abilities, whatever you want to call them, continue throughout this series as it goes along to manifest, mm-hmm. essentially.
Now, is there a new love romance in this story here?
Yeah, it's a slow burn. So as of right now, it's her next door neighbor who is a detective who helps her, you know, actually make these mysteries. I mean, she can't quite go to the local police and say, a ghost told me something happened. Yeah. So she's utilizing her next door neighbor. And there is a romance.
There you go. Always with the romance. Yeah, ghosts help solve mysteries. And I don't know if you want to give this away. I know we can't talk a lot about the middle and ending of the books, but are the ghosts the people that were maybe adversely affected by these crimes?
They were.
They're trying to get someone to solve them for him?
Yes. I mean, they're all tied together somehow in some way. And they're the least likely group up, because it's multiple ghosts. They're not people that you would look at and say, oh, this makes sense that they're connected.
So it's kind of like that kid who's like, I see dead people, but it's a mystery solving movie. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's a mash of all of it.
I'm just being funny. So there you go. So tell us a little about yourself. How long have you known you were an author? You've probably been doing some writing and stuff. How did you grow up? What were some of your influences with books and romance novels? And then what made you finally, you know, turn the key?
Yeah. To write a book? I I think, you know, my love of reading started probably back in fifth grade when I stumbled across R.L. Stein. I'm kind of more of a horror junkie. Honestly, that's really where my love was. So it was, you know, getting yelled at every night by my mom to put the book down so I could go to sleep. But wow. Then, you know, life gets in the way. And it wasn't until 2009 when I had my first child that I was finding myself reading again because I was at home and that's what I chose to do. So I actually stumbled across romance. So Twilight actually kind of like brought me back into the reading gig. And I was working corporate America, decided, why am I doing this? There has to be a way to make this a career. So I started looking into various ways. I went to school for, you know, marketing and communications and decided, you know what, like, let's start looking at the process. And the thing about publishing is there are two different paths. You have traditional and then you have what we call now indie, so independent publishing. And it had just started really back in that time in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so I really got interested in that and it snowballed. I mean, I started a blog and the blog led to me opening a PR and marketing company. And it just, I got more involved and more involved. And so I spent a number of years publishing other or helping authors publish their books. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, since 2015, really, I've published thousands of books.
Oh, wow.
For authors. And I was finally like, it's my turn. So 2019, I did the independent publishing and I do have 8 books published independently. This is my first traditionally published book.
So I did have it right. You're a multi-book author. I could have sworn I'd seen that somewhere in the research. And
I'm considered a debut under mystery and, you know, what I wrote with An Enchanted Case of Spirits. But under a different name, I do have additional books.
There you go. Are they going to let you convert those to your name, or are you going to leave them in their standard format?
You know, I'm still trying to decide that. They're a little bit different. I mean, they're more they're heavy romance, where this is really mystery with a side of romance. So sometimes it's good to keep the separation.
There you go. Yeah, are they the heavy kind of romance where I have to say, so they had sex on the beach again in chapter 2 and 3 and 4?
Mine might not be quite that, but hey, that's what's selling. I mean, right now, I think this morning I looked at the top 100. Number 1 is romance. The top 10, there were 4 romances. In the top 100, there were 68. So more than half of the books today on Amazon are romance.
Yeah. So, well, the world needs more romance and love. That's
it's happy.
We've got too many wars and angry people, and we need more love. Sounds like I should start seeing John Lennon or All You Need Is Love or something. When you wrote this book, what gave you the ideas for doing the ghost thing and the medium? And, you know, what were some of the proponents that made you build the structure of the plot and story?
Twofold. Number 1, I am a chicken. I like horror, but I'm scared of everything. So I have every house I've ever lived in. I have thought it's haunted. And finally, a couple years ago, I had a medium tell me, no, it's not the houses. It's you. You're haunted. And I'm like, what does that mean? And kind of went down a rabbit hole of like just being interested in what exactly she was trying to tell me. So that was one. And two, being involved in publishing for as many years as I have, you know, there's so much data out there that just, you know, shows you what the readers want. And when you look at even, you know, TikTok, which right now is honestly selling so many books. I mean, that's the platform, the medium that is really moving the needle for a lot of authors.
Really?
And yeah, if you look at witch, you know, the hashtag like witch talk, or if you look at Oracle and manifestation and all of these things, it's a booming, you know, people are interested in manifestation and being able to, you know, feel like they have some level of control, you know, with the universe's help of their life. And so it was interesting to me that people want this, but there were not a lot of mainstream books that covered those topics. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of data, a little bit of, you know, personal interest, and An Enchanted Case of Spirits was born.
Plus, it gives you probably a pretty fertile ground where you can use your imagination to build out just about whatever you want.
Yeah. And
there you go. I'm so jealous of people who write novels, because I write nonfiction and it's like so limited. You know, you have to stay on the ground, basically. But no. With fiction, you can use your imagination, create whatever world you want and stuff. It's so awesome. And I love it because you have so much to play around, you know. In business nonfiction, you're just like, well, there's a widget and we sold it, you know. That's basically
I'm helping a business author publish a book right now, so I see where you're coming from.
It's really plain, you know. I suppose you can make stuff up if you want. I think someone did that in 1986. The Art of the What? But so that was a work of fiction. But so there you go. So are you writing any more? Is this going to be a series coming from this book in the future? Or what's the future look like for you?
Yes. So actually in publishers' marketplace where they announced this, it was announced that this is a two book. They purchased two books. So it's the same series. This book ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger. You have, you know, the story is wrapped up with the current mysteries, but it definitely opens another loose end essentially at the end. So that story is in the works. I don't really have much more to say than that at the time, but this story has the potential. I mean, there are a lot of characters in it, so it could go on. I mean, I love the Jana Ivanovich, path, just keep letting me write and I will. So
there you go. So the characters will go through at least the second book and maybe on to the future.
Let's hope. Yeah, definitely the second.
There you go. Well, that should be fun to flesh out. And a burgeoning novelist, of course, you've got already, quite a few under your belt. So you've got the operations down. What do you hope readers come away with from the book?
While I was writing this, I was turning 40 as well. And I was experiencing a lot of things that, like I said, a lot of women experience with the aging process. And there are a lot of physical and emotional changes that happen. And women we're getting better at it, but we're not great at actually discussing those things and getting advice and talking. And I put a lot of myself into my main character and the things that she was experiencing. So it was pretty cathartic in that. And I'm hoping that, other women who are reading this book that are in their, late 30s, early 40s and beyond can feel empowered, because at the start, our female character is, struggling with those things. And by the end, she's completely owned being 40 and has really found that it wasn't the end of a chapter or a life. It was literally the beginning. And she's actually in a much better place than she was prior to.
As we're always constantly learning, growing, as we always say, stories are the owner's manual to life. And whether it's fiction or nonfiction, we learn through stories and the stories that are told. And we see reflections of ourselves and it gives us different paradigm. I think it's a paradigm shift that helps us, because we see the paradigm in the story that's different maybe than our outlook. Like, I remember one time I complained on Facebook about how horrible it was to turn 50. And I was being semi-comedic, tongue-in-cheek like I do. But I was like, oh, what was me? And someone wrote me and said, Chris, there's a whole lot of people that aren't here anymore that would have loved to have been 50. So maybe you should just shut up a bit. and I was like, yeah, I think I just got checked. Okay. Yeah. I think I better just have some gratitude. And, paradigm shifts like that make all the difference in the world. When you build out your characters, so technically you have 9 books or 8 books under your belt?
Well, this would be, I believe I have 8 books, 7 books. This will be eight.
Mm-hmm. So when you flesh out your characters, when you build out your plot, are there some techniques you use in writing, or do you do daily writing, or what are some of the ways that you use to flesh out a book and keep on track? Because that seems to be the hardest part for most people is, writing every day or keep writing.
Well, in a perfect world, you aim for a certain word count every day. I mean, truly, based on the length of my books, I should be writing somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 words a day. I'm not very good. Not very good at that. I'm a mom of 3 kids and they're all athletic. So I'm bouncing from one field to the next on any given day. So I find that a lot of times I'm waiting until the last minute and I'm pushing out 80,000 words in 3 weeks. And why I haven't slept. So yeah, I mean, that's the plan. I honestly feel though that over time, my stories develop more than anything. Yeah. I have a good idea of what I think, but it always ends up taking a turn somewhere. It's like the longer I stew on the plot, the better it becomes.
There you go. Gotta let it stew.
Yeah, I do. I have to let it stew. and I have to meet people. I mean, my characters are largely based on people I meet in everyday life. So it depends on how it went that day. Are you going to be a villain in my story, or are you going to be one of the friends? Like, how are we doing this?
Note to self, be nice to Melissa when you meet her in person. You may end up in her books.
It's all good.
I think we've got a few authors that are like that. They use books as a revenge.
Yeah.
I know of one prolific author we've had on about 4 or 5 times, and I think she has 70 books now.
Oh.
And she will use her books for revenge.
It's a safe way, especially when it's fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets back at you, and she's funny to have on. But, you know, she's been writing for a long time, very prolific. I think she's on about every 5 months or 6 months, it seems.
That's fun.
But, you know, so yeah, be careful. Authors have a lot of leeway. You may end up semi-famous. So there you go. So it's been fun to have you on. Anything you want to tease out about the book before we go?
But really, I think it's just, I want people to go into this knowing that it was written to be an easy read. It was written to be something that you could laugh and have fun with, while also having those, you know, serious components with it being a mystery. So it's not all romance, it's not all mystery, it's just kind of a blend of all of those things. And I think it's really important for a lot of readers to know that, you know, there's not one way that a 40-year-old should act. And, you know, there's always this like misconception that, oh, she's 40, she should be mature, that I don't act like that when I'm with my friends. I still feel 19 years old half the time. So my characters reflect that. So just go in with an open mind and knowing when they need to be serious, they're serious. And when they can let loose and have fun with their core group of people, as they should be able to, they do. And that's really what An Enchanting Case of Spirits is. It's supposed to be something that you can literally pour a glass of wine or gin or whatever your choice, water, and just hang with your friends and read and laugh and be like, that just happened. And we did that last week.
There you go. Those are the best things. I know beach reads are really big for women, too. They love to go on vacation with their beach
reads. That's what this is meant to be. Very safe cover. You can take it out there and no one's going to question what's going on.
Might be 50 Shades of Grey as a cover.
Might be. It might be. These new illustrated covers.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Give us your .com so people can find you on the interwebs.
Yep, MelissaHoltz.com. And it will be like author Melissa Holtz for Instagram and Facebook and TikTok.
There you go. Thank you very much, Melissa, for coming on the
show.
Thank
you for having me.
Thanks to our audience for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, Fortress Chris Foss, LinkedIn.com, Fortress Chris Foss, Chris Foss, one of the TikTokity, and all those crazy places on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe, and we'll see you guys next time.